I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
TMS happens specifically because we have patrons. People like Diagonalization, Joel Moronares, and Jason Rafe, or Rife. Sign up today at patreon.com, and I can mess up your name, patreon.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, Old Man, You Can Stretch Out Your Arm.
Fruit of the Shroom.
Stanley Cup. Excelsior.
Happy Little Vacuum Flask.
Inner Sanctum Sanatorium.
What's His Face DeLorean.
Chicken Crab Money.
The King of Cornholio.
Unreal Arm Pain.
Kool-Aid in a Vacuum.
I'm rigid as hell.
Spiel Demeckis.
Yeah, I'd tap that mug.
Pumbaa 2. Electric Who Is Who.
Bone on Bone Action with Dan. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
No rain, but your car's bound to get dirty.
So give your car a car wash, make it look like new. Watch it in the car wash that lets you see right through. Mr. Kelly's Car Wash, that's the one for me.
Hey, Mr. Kelly,
wax it beautifully.
Drive up the ramp, hook the chain, it runs by battery.
If it isn't the stairs today, it'll be washing the car tomorrow.
The Morning Stream. I am your father's, brother's, nephew's, cousin's former roommate.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for... Wow, something decided
good?
To...
You good? You all right there?
Just hanging out in my throat for no good reason. It's Tuesday, February 20th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Nibitai.
Hello.
Hello.
Feels like just hours that hour ago that we were playing some Unreal Tournament, and I was getting a crook in my wrist because my keyboard is at a dumb angle and my monitor is even dumber. I don't have a good setup for PC playing. It's all, you know, my setup is for PS5, Mac, and Switch playing.
I kind of have a similar issue, except I use now a HDMI splitter that lets me turn on. So I have a Series S in here. I have the PS5 and then a PC, and they're all hooked up to that. So when I want to switch to one of them, I can kind of still just do it in the same place. I angle my camera a little bit, but
yeah,
it's still a pain in the ass. Cool. It's not great. Yeah. You know, it's not perfect, but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
I'm pretty sure that Unreal Tournament stuff's what's flaring my arm up, to be honest.
Could be, yeah, because that's when it does seem to start, right?
Yeah, and I had it in my 20s when I was playing those games real hardcore.
Oh, no. Yeah, pre-show. For those of you who aren't patrons, shame on you, but no kidding. But those of you who didn't hear the pre-show, Scott's got a little ache in his arm.
Business, yep. And if I move in a certain way and do it too quickly, it just about lays me out. Like, to the point of white hot pain. It's like, and for those who are like, well, go to the doctor. I've been to the doctor. She's looked at it.
The doctor said, don't do that.
They said, quit doing that. Quit putting it in places it hurts. Anyway, it's a long story.
Will I ever play the violin again?
Become a patron and find out more. All right, everybody.
Yeah, please.
We got a whole show today. We got all kinds of stuff. Dan's coming up later. So for those of you who love board games, good news. For those of you who hate them, bad news.
Whatever. You know, for those of you who hate board games, I who are you? Who are you that hates board games? Any kind of board game, whether it's even my Aunt Barb, she's not a fan of, you know, when we come over and I bring a huge box that's got a, you know, rule book that takes 20 minutes to explain.
Yeah, they don't want
to. She still likes the, well, can't we, why don't we just play like Ticket to Ride or Monopoly or Sorry or something?
Oh, Ticket to Ride is always on the menu. I love that
game. It is. And you know what? It's a really good, kind of right in the middle of that, okay, here's a really involved game that's got a lot of rules, and then here's Pop-O-Matic Trouble. Mm-hmm. Right? It's basically like right there in the middle that the great equalizer.
Anybody can play it, feels like. Yeah. Although I think that about the youngest you want to be is around 10 or 11. I don't think.
Yeah, because you need to be able to plan ahead several steps and think about, you know, how am I going to get from Seattle to Phoenix when they've got all that stuff lined up?
Yep. I love German games that are based in America. The game itself, I mean. Mm-hmm. So, like, that game's made by a German company. They won every possible award over there, the Spiel des Speckes or whatever the hell it's called, where they all win things. And just an amazing game, but it looks like some old-timey American, you know.
is this what they think it looks like over here? Is this?
Yeah, and I'm sure it's Spiel des Speckes. I'm sure that's correct. It's
exactly, Spiel des Speckes. That sounds like, it sounds a little Yiddish. It does. Hey, he's got a little Spiel des Speckes going on.
Yeah, I don't know how that, I don't know. What is it? Spiel des Jahres or something?
Spiel des Jahres. Yeah,
Spiel des Jahres. All right, Dan can correct
Spiel the barge. Who's Johnny?
He said. all right, so we had a message yesterday that I thought would be good to put on the show because we have a few of you out there floating around who are listeners who are also parents and maybe have young children, and you're like, man, my kid sure likes to draw, but I don't know what to have him draw, or I don't know what stuff to do or how to get him going. And we got a message like that yesterday, and I have a great recommendation that just happened to be on our table the other day. And the boys loving it. So here it is. On TMS today, Scott was talking about kids' art, and I was wondering if either of you had good recommendations for apps or books about art and drawing. My daughter is 6 and loves drawing and art. Thanks. Love the show, though. Jimmy from Arizona. Well, Jimmy in Arizona. Don't know why I struggled on that one.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Jimmy says, get my name right.
Yeah, that was weird. on Amazon right now is this book that we ended up getting. I was going to grab it and I couldn't find it handy, but it is called How to Draw 101 Things. And here, I'll put it up for the chat. Oh, my window's all effed up. There we go.
Oh, this is cool.
Yeah. So what you do is you go in there and there are everything from... Well, it even says in the description, animals, plants, sports, foods, really everything you can think of, 101 of them. Yeah. And every one of them has kind of a little step-by-step you can follow, but it's not strict, though. It's like you can do that, and I recommend that because I think it's good for kids to do the process. Mm-hmm. But if they're just little creative wunderkinds who just want to go, I'm just drawing this rocket. I don't need to, you know, they don't want to do steps. That's fine, too. The book encourages creativity. Let's see, what is it? $11 for the hardback, paperback?
Yeah. $10.59. That's great.
It's
easy price.
Yeah. Very good little thing. And I'd recommend it, by the way. People are always like, what about digital? I think that it's actually better for kids to just pull out some paper and some crayons. Yes. And it doesn't matter. Crayons, pens, pencils. It really doesn't matter. Just give them some physical implements, give them some surface to do it on, and you're golden.
And this is cool. Like, you know, I'm looking at the food items and the animals and vegetables and fruits. And then I find something, vacuum flask.
What the frick? What is that?
I don't know.
Is this a British thing? It sounds British.
I put it in our Discord chat. Like, what the heck? Vacuum flask.
Oh.
I
don't know what that is.
It's a plastic pitcher is what I call that thing.
All right. There it is. Chad's got a little smile. Do you guys... This sounds British.
Yeah, it's not definitely not a thermos. I know. Yeah, I mean, vacuum flask. That's what I think of. Is like, oh, okay, like a thermos, but that's like a plastic pitcher. That's like something that you put water in, you carry it around the house to water the plants.
Yeah, I don't know what that's for. Yeah. Or do you guys have a thing that goes in a vacuum? When it fills, you pull it out, but it looks like a picture of Kool-Aid. Like, what are you doing over there?
It does look like it's Kool-Aid Man's not quite a ready nephew.
Yeah.
Like, oh, maybe.
And I'm pretty sure this person is British. The Sophia Elizabeth person. So maybe it is, and we just want to understand, and that's fine. We're okay.
Sure.
We're here to learn, along with the rest of you. But anyway, cool. Yeah, it's a very cool little book. And really the main thing, though, even if you don't want to do the book, is just sit and draw with them. And around 5 years old is the best year. I've said this before, but it always is like, for whatever reason, their brains are ready. What they want to do goes to their hand, goes to the pen, and they make some wild looking stuff, you know, primordial and weird, but, you know, amazing visual stuff from a 5 year old. And it's a perfect time to do it with them. And especially if they love it, the main thing is that you're there doing it with them and you're golden. You don't even need this book. You don't need anything. You just need to draw and talk about, well, let's do a bird. Let's do a frog. Let's do whatever.
And it also helps them visualize things, breaking them down into parts. You know, you look at something, and I'm notorious for this. When I draw something, it's like, oh my God, that'd be so much effort to draw. And then you start breaking down, well, that's basically a circle, and that's that like an oval right here, and this is just kind of like an oblong. And then you break it down into pieces, and teaching them how to do that thing. Dr. Calhoun has figured out what the vacuum flask is. It's like one of those, like a pitcher. What we can't tell, it looks like the top of that thing is open, but it's really like a flat thing that you, almost like a carafe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is this, were we right about more
of a vacuum sealed carafe kind of thing?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this mostly British? I don't know why I'm hooked on the British part, because it just feels British to me. For whatever
so weird and foreign.
It's just weird. If you said thermos, or no, what was it, vacuum flask, I would just go, oh, you Brits and your lorries and your...
Well, it's Sophia Elizabeth. Elizabeth is a mother with two children. She loves to draw and often help her children draw simple things.
Oh, yes!
No information about Sophia Elizabeth other than... that she's got kids.
All right. Maybe they're little British kids. We don't know.
But no, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I haven't heard the term. You know, when you describe it as that carafe thing, for sure, it feels, okay, because those are vacuum sealed to keep things hot. Totally makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense now. Now I get it. Now I kind of want a hot beverage of some sort. I don't have one. You have a hot beverage there with you, right? You always do.
Exactly. I always do. Yes, this is somewhat of a vacuum flask, although...
Spider flask.
Yeah, it's vacuum insulated on the inside, right?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, I think so.
I'm not tapping something that's tapping the liquid. I'm tapping something that's tapping air that's around the liquid.
Yeah, and these are, I think this is the same. It's got like a thick inner sanctum.
Exactly. You know what you should do, by the way, with that thing? You should get a sticker of Marvel Comics founder, late great Stan Lee, and then you can stick it on there and call it a Stan Lee mug or Stan Lee cup.
Oh, shit. We should do it. Or Stan Yeti, because mine's a Yeti.
Stan
brand.
Yeti.
Yeah.
Stan Even just the Yeti. Pair of sunglasses and mustache.
It just says,
I think we have a new mug idea for the store.
Write this down, somebody.
A Stanley cup, and think of the SEO that you'll get from having these Stanley cups, TMS Stanley cups on the store.
Now that you say that, I have we are working on some of these thermos things.
Yeah. Oh, are you really?
It's way more fun. This is a way funner idea, and I could draw up something with Stan Lee on it. And we'd have, and Brian would get full credit for this, because this is a great idea. I never thought of this. Stan Lee. Cup. Yeah.
Stan Lee cup.
Do you have a Stan Lee? Yeah, I do. It's great. I take it to the gym.
Right here. Excelsior.
Yeah. Excelsior. That's great. Okay. We got a call asking if we'd seen something, and the call will explain what that means.
Hi, this is Amanda. Messages for TMS. I just recently listened to your recommendals on January 3rd. And Scott, you were saying that you really like weird out there movies. And I'm wondering if you or any of the recommendal people have watched the movie Ink, I-N-K, 2009. I believe the director was Jamin Winans, if I'm pronouncing that right. Really cool, but messed up movie. And there's really no way to explain it. So... if you haven't seen it, I think it's streaming on some of the freer places, Freevee and those ones, but you can also rent it from Apple. So hopefully you'll put this on the show, because I'm really curious if any of you have seen it. Thanks, bye.
This is a 2009 INK.
Yeah. This is whack, man. Yeah. I'm looking at the just the little silent trailer that they put on IMDb right next to the movie poster. And
I don't know.
This thing looks freaking weird.
What is going on here?
Yeah.
It's reviewed pretty well, too. Pretty decent.
Yeah. It's because five people saw it and three of them liked it. That's why it reviewed well.
Oh, weird. What are we doing?
Yeah. Right? And you would just see the weird face smiling.
Yeah, I don't like him at all. I'm not a fan of that guy.
This looks like it's potentially nightmare fuel, but...
Oh, I'd watch this in a heart. Yeah, I'd watch this. Freebie? Yeah. I got Freebie. I'll do that.
Freebie.
Oh, it's on Plex. I have Plex.
Stars Jessica Duffy, born in Denver, Colorado.
Do we know? I know her for something?
Known for Ink.
Whoa, slow your roll, Bactress.
And ironically, Spotless, the other of her four films that are listed here.
She looks familiar in these shots.
She does, yeah, but
I think she's looks just familiar
because I've just seen her around town.
Every TV show.
Hey, Jessica
show.
Duffy, how's the film career going?
Every show ever made has this lady, a lady that looks like it, this.
Right, yeah.
And it's no offense to her. She looks lovely, but look at this.
This was filmed in Denver, Hobbs Dog says.
Ooh,
really?
Look, Brian, you got a little homegrown.
This looks like it wasn't filmed in anything that even looks human. Like, it doesn't even look like
it. It looks like it was filmed in the Fire in the Sky spaceship or something.
Yeah, wow. All right. Hobbs Dog is definitely pushing it.
We're getting cool. The thumbs up, eh? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Amanda. You know what? You did it. We're gonna watch it.
It apparently takes a lot for me to bring out the descriptive whack, but apparently that was all it took was seeing that trailer and go, "This is whack."
It is whack, Brian. Yeah. You're with
it
the kids.
It is wickety whack. It's wickety whack.
That might be a couple decades old, but I still like what you did there. Yeah. I still like it.
I'm adding it to my, I'm pulling up my Apple Notes document with my checkboxes and adding it to the, this is a Brian only thing list.
Free V.
Because I don't see Tina wanting to watch this.
It doesn't look like something Kim would enjoy either. So
yeah,
this is a movie we're going to have to experience on our own and we'll report back. Maybe we, not by this recommendals, but maybe by the next recommendals, you and I will see it, and then we can just speak to it when we come on.
We'll just talk about it. We'll make an official recommendal. Yeah.
Unless we love it. If it's amazing, maybe we'll recommend it. I don't know.
Maybe.
It does look like I need to go to Vegas and load up on some gummies to watch it.
It looks like it'll supplant that. Like you won't need to do it. It'd be redundant to do gummies and watch this film.
This is correct. All right. Let's talk about frog mushrooms.
Hey there, everyone. This is Tony. On the last episode, 2598, I believe you guys talked about the mushrooms on the frog. Well, fun little fact about mushrooms that I didn't know about until recently, but those are actually the reproductive organ of the fungus, usually underground. So, really, when you eat mushrooms, you're eating fungi genitalia.
Ew!
Have a good one. Bye.
Never thought of it that way. I don't like that.
Yeah.
That's true, right? They're like the stapes and
the stamen.
Stapes. What's the stapes? That's something.
I've got stapes.
Stapes. Eat more fruit. I got stapes. Wait, what's this? There is a... Oh, it's one of the bones.
Pestle and stamen or stamen. Stamen?
What's the other bone? You have a bone in your ear called the stapes, right?
No, you've got the... It's the hammer, the stirrup, and the anvil, and their real name or their Latin names are... Oh,
I should remember this. What's wrong with us?
Yes.
Why are we bad?
Chat room, help me out here. What are the three bones called? The Latin names for the three bones in your ear.
It's the anus, the stapes.
Stirrup, the hammer, and the anvil. And they're the...
Stapes, apes, and crapes. Crapes. Yeah. Nailed it.
I don't know of anything called stapes, but sure.
Yeah, why not? Also, that reminds me of a conversation we had once that I think we should relive right now. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
So... Timon. Check this out. This is, whoops, I got to pull it up so I can crank up the volume just a tad because it's a little on the quiet side.
The Pinta, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa. That's it. Those
there it
three
is. That's the one.
Oops. Timon was a producer's guy. It was,
Hey, BioCow says it's the
bird cage.
The tympanic membrane,
yeah.
The bony ossicles called the malleus, the incus, and the stapes.
So it is stapes. I wasn't
it is
crazy.
Stapes, the Latin right. name of one of those little ear bones. Good job.
Oh, geez. My gosh. Wow. I was sure I was being stupid.
I guess the stirrup is the stapes. That would make sense, right? Because the...
The S word.
The S word.
That's the one S word in the list, yeah. I don't know,
nice
actually.
Nice job. All right, well done.
All right. The other two, though. Yeah,
I doubted you.
Well, look, sometimes Stapes wins out in the end.
Yes.
Remember this?
Off this max. Stay away from Stapes.
Does this? Do you remember this conversation? This is about 2 minutes, but it's worth playing here. Okay. Timon.
No, Timon was, producer's guy. It was...
What's his name? The birdcage.
Yes,
Nathan
right.
Lane, you
Danny chicken, chicken Cherokee,
chicken crap money.
Jerry Von Flattery. I don't know. I can't remember his name.
I'm just gonna have fun and just let you go with that.
I think I think someone Nathan Lane. Jeez,
Nathan Lane.
Nothing.
And I can't
like
remember
that.
Who was Pumbaa, but Pumbaa's not coming back. So
no Pumbaa. Rafiki, though, was played by...
Did Pumbaa die and I forgot?
The Pumbaa was played by Benson. No.
Benson was the bird.
No. No, not the bird. The bird was the British actor.
Robert Guillaume was the...
Was the monkey.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was the monkey. Yeah, but not Pumbaa.
Yeah, but Rafiki is the monkey, isn't it?
Rafiki is the monkey. Pumbaa is the warthog.
Right. What I'm saying is that... Rafiki is being played by somebody named Kerry Payton, who is not...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, gotcha.
Not Benson.
I'm still hung up on Pumbaa. What happened to Pumbaa?
Pumbaa is gone. They ate him. I don't know. He's pork.
He died, did he?
Well, look, my understanding is that lions eat boars.
Did you know that there was... Okay, so apparently there was a Lion King 1.5.
No.
And Lion King 2,
no.
Simba's Pride.
I did not know that.
Maybe Pumbaa died.
Did you know that Ferris Bueller played Pumbaa when he was an adult? Adult Pumbaa? Did you know
you
that?
Mean adult Simba.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yes. There is no adult Pumbaa. You know, maybe it's...
Like how many people are just giving up and switched off there?
That's really bad. Okay. When was this? This was...
Wow, folks, and we've only gotten dumber since then.
Eight years ago, by the way. 8 or 9 years
ago. 8 years. Wow.
Good Lord. That's crazy. Your mic sounds different back then for some reason.
It totally did. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's probably a whole mixer ago.
Yeah.
Or maybe even a whole mic ago. That might have been with the old Shure before the Heil.
We're at least.
Oh, you're back to the Heil.
Oh yeah, it's a whole story.
Yeah, was this during the whole like where's that buzzing coming from? Situation?
Yeah, that whole scenario. By the time I got everything pulled out and moved around, I was like, I'm not moving all this back. I'm just putting it where it is. So the gaming one over here, the one I was on last night for Unreal, that one is the new one, mm-hmm. And then this one's for this, and then Carter Kim's is over there. So
Carter Kim's.
All right. Did you?
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. True Detective. I know it's finished. I'm terrified. I keep hearing it ended bad.
Oh, really? I just hear what I've heard is ambiguous. Here's where I'm at. I'll tell you where we're at right now.
All right.
Because we went through a big binge of the show and watched three episodes Sunday night. We watched 2.5 episodes last night. So we're basically halfway through episode 6, the finale.
Okay.
This is... Oh, holy cow. Scariest season of True Detective yet.
Yeah, I agree. They take a while to get to it, though, right? They take a minute to get to the scary.
Feels
like a slow burn.
I don't feel like they did. I feel like there is scary even in the opening, the pre-intro, and the actual intro itself with the Billie Eilish song, Bury Your Friend, is... That is on the level of that first season of American Horror Story intro being
I'm
really uneasy about this whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't. That thing still freaks me out. That intro for that show.
Yeah, it is so freaky. But anyway, so far really liking it, and I've been hearing the same thing. Like, you see a headline: producers explain the ambiguous ending. It's like, oh, I don't want to know that. Just the headline kind of scares me a little bit. But yeah,
ambiguous ending.
Ambiguous ending. But I know you recently watched seasons 2 and 3.
I did.
Did you do 1 as well?
I'd already seen 1, so I didn't rewatch it.
Yeah, I know, but you didn't do 1 in your... Oh, you didn't do a rewatch of 1 before 2 and 3.
No, okay. I just jumped right to 2. I may have seen 1 twice, but it was way back when I just binged it twice or something.
Yeah, okay.
Because I really liked season 1, and I really liked... I actually quite like season 2. It's a very different season. I'm not going to say it's the best season, not even close, but it's just a very different kind of story.
It's the worst of the 4 seasons, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, I still enjoy all those actors and stuff and all that, but 3, I really liked 3.
Just in comparison to how good season 1 was, I think that was just the deal. Like, when you compare it, if you just put it right up against season 1, it's a difficult... It's difficult to hit that bar again because Woody and McConaughey were just so dang good.
They were amazing.
Alexandria Daddario.
Three was
Alexandria
real.
Alexandria Daddario.
She's we the love best. Alexandria we love her.
Daddario.
Yeah.
With the handcuffs.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
Daddario.
Some stuff going on there. The third season's amazing, but my main takeaway from 3 was I didn't expect, not Brad Dourif. What's his name? The other one. The one that plays the vampire.
I don't remember a thing about season 3 except for Mahershala Ali being really, really good. And that's all I remember about season 3.
Can't think of his name. Not Brad.
I think I need to do a rewatch of it.
2 is amazing. Three is incredible.
3 was really good, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so you're further than me because I'm only 3-4 episodes into season 4. So.
Oh, okay, so you've started season 4. Yeah. So when you're saying it takes a while, it's taken a while for it to build up for you.
I think if I'd binge it, I think I would be enjoying it more. It's not that I'm not enjoying it. It's just that it felt like the first few episodes were real slow burny.
Okay.
And, you know, Harry Potter's mean aunt was there, and I'm like, okay.
See, and I think of her as Killing Eve, as the leader of the covert group that
she's great in that. I forgot about that.
She's great in that. Yeah,
she's also she was great in Andor. She was the Andor lady.
Yeah,
with the hologram lady
with the robot.
Yeah. And she lived. Everybody, she lived, and everything was fine.
Sure, totally just fine. Still living and doing great. But anyway, so I'm a little worried about this, but Screen Crush, love Screen Crush. If you haven't checked out Screen Crush, the channel, lots of great not really explainer videos, but here are 101 things that you missed when you watch blah, 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 and Easter eggs and connections. I'm fascinated by what they've done with True Detective without being spoilery, but saying that it is connected to other seasons of True Detective in much the same way that all the seasons of Fargo are connected.
I definitely got some of that vibe this time.
Because I didn't get it up until this season.
Yeah, the other seasons, not so much. Right, exactly. And I'm sure that there's tiebacks. Well, there are tiebacks in this season to the previous season, but there's also a big, big tieback to 1, which is, I'm sure you know about at this stage because you're far enough along. That's pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
I like that, though. I like anthologies anyway, but I like it when they have just little strings to connect things, you know? I like that.
For sure.
Feels like they're trying to do that a little bit here, is have their own Fargo.
That's what I was wondering. If you'd heard about the connection or caught the connection or if you'd watched season 1 recently enough, that's like, oh, well, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. Once you get there, you go, oh, okay.
It kind of makes me want to watch season 1 again because I only watched it the one time.
I saw it and went, all right. First thing I said when I saw it. No spoilers. Cool. Anyway, awesome. Anyway, so you're good. That's good. You're enjoying it, and you'll finish that out, tonight or something?
I'll finish that up tonight. We've got trivia tonight, but I think we're playing at the a place that's fairly close to the house, so we'll be able to finish True Detective.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Holy Moses.
That was a rough one. I think I lost a tooth.
I think that came from way down. You know,
it did. I've been holding on that one for weeks.
Yeah.
So we'll watch the end of that tonight, and then I'll report back tomorrow and say, here's my take on the ending, the non-spoilery take on the ending of True Detective season 4. And
tomorrow's dent apocalypse for me. I have to go to the dentist after the show. So we have the show and then I go to the dentist and they fix this half broken freaking crown I hurt 2 weeks ago, whatever it was.
Yep.
Snap that off. Everything's fine. Doesn't hurt. It's just they got to fix it. And then there's another tooth where I can just tell I've chipped it. And I don't know what he's going to say. Is he going to get in there and go, oh, we got another big bummer from high school. Time to take that and turn it into a night. Just dreading it, dude. Dreading it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go. I really don't. Someone can go for me. Or you know what? How about I load up on like, I don't know. I probably got a neighbor who's got like, you know, tranquilizers or something. You know, I could go sneak into their house.
You mean gummies, don't you?
Oh, I'd love that. That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those Vegas.
You don't have any Mike Tyson ears left? I thought you had some Mike Tyson ears.
Oh, no. We went through those like crazy. Those are gone. Those are out. No more Mike Tyson ears. Wasn't there? There was a whole thing where they couldn't sell those for a while, but then they did.
Holyfield had to agree to it or something, did he? Because technically it's his ear.
Yeah. So he got like a cut or something.
He got a portion.
He got a piece of his own ear is what he got.
That's right. Exactly.
Yes. Amazing. All right. Let's do some news dive down that rabbit hole before we get around to Dan time, which will be soon. So everybody stick around for that. Here we go. Here's this. Where is it? Here it is.
I don't watch the news.
It's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Tondagasa in our chat room has a pretty great Twitch channel. Give him a look at twitch.tv/Tondagasa, TONDAGOSSA, and see how it's done.
Yep. Does games, does other stuff.
I don't know if it is Tondagosa or Tondagasa.
I always said Gosa, but I don't actually know.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know either. For whatever reason, I thought Gasa because of the double S, but.
Dunaway calls him Tonda and just does it short.
Sure. Tonda.
Yeah, and part of me
not
thinks
to be
he
confused with Taronda.
Taronda. But then also, I think he does it because he just is lazy and doesn't want to do the last part. So that's why I just take that done away.
That's not it might be right. Like it's like I don't know. How to pronounce it. I'm just gonna skip it. Just
yeah, call it. It's not that you're super friendly or that you guys are super close. It's that you don't want to bother trying to find out if Gasa or Gosa is correct. Take that done away. All right, I'll fight you on the battlefield. Let's get moving with the story here. A university just awarded cornhole scholarships to two Colorado athletes.
Oh, great.
Brian, you can celebrate in your own state.
Feels like what a podunk. It makes it sound like, yep, we're getting a cornhole scholarship.
I mean, I don't know. We're, you know.
You know, we have buildings here, people. We have a downtown area. We have light rail.
That's true. You guys have a full-on metropolis. You have three major league teams in various sports. NHL,
four,
NFL.
Scott, four.
Wait, what's the fourth one? I can't think of it. Hold on.
The Avalanche, the Nuggets, the Broncos, and the Rockies?
Oh, the Rockies, shit. Yeah. I always forget about the Rockies. Gosh dang it.
Well... They're forgettable lately, so
forgetting about themselves.
It's fine for you to forget them.
Yeah, no, see, that's a big deal.
It's actually okay to forget the.
You shouldn't be worried about cornhole in a state that's got four major league teams.
Exactly.
But whatever. I'm shocked. I mean, as everyone is, says Gavin Hamm. It's crazy. It's groundbreaking. It's new. It's making history.
Oh, jeez.
That's what this guy says on a national signing day. Thunder Ridge High School student Jackson Remick, spelled with an X, J-A-X-S-O-N.
Ooh.
His parents are cool, man. Those are 90s kids raised on Mortal Kombat, so they stuck a little Jackson there. I like that.
Yeah, right. He's got one metal arm, I hear, and a laser eye.
That's right.
Am I thinking of the right guy?
No, laser eye is Kano.
Oh, right.
And
right.
Jax
did have one.
He has both arms missing. Both arms
were missing?
Yeah. Okay. And they would both, in later games, they both would fire out like missiles, certain move you can do. So the arm would detach and like attack the other guy. It's great.
So can I talk about Thunder Ridge really quick?
Yeah.
It's down in Highlands Ranch. And that's not a typo. Thunder Ridge is really spelled with no space, but capital T and capital R, like it's a product name.
That's how it's incorporated? Like that's the town or city or whatever?
No, the city is Highlands Ranch.
Oh, okay.
The high school is Thunder Ridge with all one word with no space and a capital R in the middle for Ridge.
A high school,
Thunder Ridge.
Where you're supposed to learn how words work.
Right, exactly.
That's F.
I think it's a little, we're overdoing it here. It's, RoboCop, fine. War Games, sure. Thunder Ridge, not necessary.
Mm. Yeah, RoboCop always made sense to me because it's branding.
Yeah.
but
it's,
you don't.
Right, it's RoboCop.
Right.
Yeah, it would have been dumb to have that as two words.
Right. But Thunder Ridge.
But Thunder Ridge. Yeah.
I'd sell that for a dollar, is what I'd say.
That's right.
Well, they are now, they made history, these two kids, for becoming the first Division I five-star cornhole recruits in the country.
Wow.
Wow.
Great.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Division One five-star cornhole recruits.
And he says,
what a world we're living in.
That's right. It says, this is a quote. It says, this is not just cornhole anymore. This is not
it
just
really
something.
Is, it is just cornhole.
I know. I feel like telling him, it's like, no, it's cornhole. It is definitely that.
Yeah.
It's not just cornhole you see on ESPN, see pros playing. This is something that is now going to give kids an opportunity to get scholarships, potential full rides eventually. Said Winthrop University cornhole coach Dusty Thompson. Of course, his name is Dusty Thompson.
Dusty Thompson.
That's sure. Amazing. Look, no offense to cornhole. I play it when there's a family
it's
around.
Fun. It's a good backyard time. Game.
Sure.
You know, but really, how'd you get your college paid for? Oh, I'm really good at throwing a beanbag.
That's right. Real good.
Into a hole.
Right into the hole every time, son. And sometimes
I again, if I could have done that, I'd be totally fine with it. Gotten a free ride to get a scholarship? Sure.
Oh, I'll take it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm even good at knocking the other bag in the hole with my bag.
Right. Exactly.
This is Winthrop from Rock Hill, South Carolina. I don't know if Bobby can tell us where that is, but Rock Hill, South Carolina, where the first Division I institution is located that did this. Now Colorado's in the fight. I never would have thought picking up this hobby about 2.5 years ago would turn into a D1 scholarship and a 5-star recruitment at this school, says Hamron. Anyway, they're really, these two kids are stoked. All right.
And they are. Yeah, there's the picture of them right there. Good for them.
I'll give it to them to have, by the way, to have their moment. It's fine.
Why is every teenager haircut right now the really close cropped, back and sides, and then curly like your Lindsey Buckingham on top?
Yeah, why? Who approved this? Seriously. Let's get to these kids.
Every kid at a certain age has that haircut.
Yeah, right? Why do they have this? This shelf-looking ass, freaking dead animal on your head, Davy Crockett-ass looking hat hair. Why? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why, but okay. All right.
I thought that went out of style, but nope. It's back.
Yep. Nope, it's back.
Back again. Let's move on to this story. An upcoming Korean Netflix drama explores what happened when your daughter or happens when your daughter is turned into a chicken nugget.
Okay. Yep. All right.
The people that brought you Squid Game and other
That's
stuff.
Right. This is Nugget Game.
Nugget Game. Netflix really does seem to be greenlighting anything and everything that is proposed to to its Korean division. No doubt thanks to the roaring success of many wacky shows that have come from the country to the streamer. And the latest that might find itself achieving such success is a series called Doc Gangjeong. And as for what it's about, it sees a father attempting to turn his daughter back into a human being after she was turned into a chicken nugget by a strange machine.
Fantastic.
You and Tina can make a whole night out of this one? Binge this bad boy?
Maybe not. it's funny, like the Korean stuff for the most part and Japanese stuff I've been watching alone.
Yeah.
It's not that she doesn't like subtitles, because we finished off the last two Oscar noms, and both of them are very heavily subtitled.
Right.
But
zone of influence or zone of interest?
Oh yeah, actually those the last three then, yeah, because Zone of Interest, Past Lives, and Anatomy of a Fall, all three mostly or all subtitled.
Oh wow, I didn't realize that. I didn't know we had so many in the.
Yeah, we got a bunch. I guess that's,
We're starting to be a smaller community, this world, you know?
That's right. Exactly. We're starting to appreciate stuff from other countries. Mm-hmm. Totally fine.
Yeah. Or some of us aren't. Some of us are a little less tolerant of such things, but whatever.
That's right. Yeah. But, I'll probably. Is this a. It doesn't say if it's a movie.
It's a series,
I believe.
Oh, it's a show.
It's a series. Yeah. Okay.
Which seems a little drug out, you know?
It does, yeah.
Little one note. Like, what's the deal? Exactly. She's a nugget.
Right.
He's trying to get her back.
Exactly. Does he have to carry her around? What sauce does she come with?
Right. I would hope it's that. What's the McDonald's stuff everyone loves? The one
Szechuan.
Szechuan.
The Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce.
Yeah. That's all. Hey, Morty. Oh my gosh, that's the other thing I got to catch up on. I'm so behind on everything.
Oh god, yeah, most recent season was great.
Heard nothing but good things about awesome. It. Yeah. Love that they worked.
So
all
yeah, all right, bring it on. I'll watch it. I don't know. We'll see how far I get into it, but I'll watch it.
Here's the actual synopsis of the show. Choi Minya, a daughter and of a company president, makes a new machine as a device which helps her with her fatigue. So she's very fatigued. Mm-hmm. So be careful out there. If you're struggling with fatigue, you might turn into a chicken nugget.
She mistakes a new machine.
Oh, mistakes.
Helps with her fatigue. Yeah.
Oh, I miss.
So she thinks she's getting into a little rejuvenator spa thing.
Yep.
But it turns her into a chicken nugget.
Yep. Amazing plot. As her father, Choi Seon Man, an intern, Go Baek Jung, who had a crush on her, try to turn her back into a human. They discover unexpected secrets. Brian.
She's vegan.
It's so much worse. She can't eat meat. What have we done?
That's right.
Yeah, it seems really dumb. Good luck to her. Yeah,
can't wait to watch it. But
real dumb. Final story. Cybertruck owners say their stainless steel trucks are rusting.
Oh, no. Yeah. Wow, who knew? We knew that they were not impervious to baseballs. Now, apparently, water is the other thing.
And I know, look, I know it's the season for everyone to just automatically shit on Elon Musk things. But I've driven or ridden in my brother-in-law's Model 3, and I Tesla. Like it. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. They're really nice. I want an electric.
Considering a Tesla for my next car, honestly.
Yeah, they're in the running. It's not that that's a problem. I don't really think of that as a problem. But the Cybertruck has been, from day one, kind of a LARP. I think it looks stupid. It has the polygon count of a PlayStation 1 game.
That's right, exactly.
And they've got all kinds of issues with when it wrecks and it not having enough give. So when they slam into a wall, everybody inside just gets, they lose their heads because it's just such a shock. There's no good shock on it, shock absorption. Like, there's some issues with it in the mud where you want a truck to perform well. So there's all these other issues. And then they're saying that the stainless steel, which is meant to be stainless, meaning permanent and never have to worry about it, is starting to corrode and
water
have
resistant.
Rust.
Yeah, exactly.
So don't get the Cybertruck.
Maybe don't get Model 1 or, the first one. I know we've got a couple listeners, somebody in our listenership who got the first one or got the among the first batch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe wait for version 2. Yeah.
I'd love to hear from them, whoever that is.
Yeah, they wrote in at one point and said that they were waiting the Cybertruck.
So they've gotten it. Well, they would have had it by now, right?
I think they've got it by now, yeah.
Write in, person, and follow up. I want to hear more.
Yeah,
I know we have Rivian fans in our community.
Oh, yeah. Rivian's sweet.
The Rivians are nice. They're expensive.
Amish Overlord. Also, it rusts.
Is Amish Overlord the guy? Is that what he said?
No, but he's the guy who just apparently said it rusts after hearing us with the article that we're reading about it rusting.
Yeah. You mean with this headline where it says they're rusting? Is that the one he means?
That's right. Amish Overlord has a rusting ignore face is what he has.
He's busy with all the Amish that he's overlording.
And the overlording.
Yeah.
Sure.
Overlording of the Amish is not an easy task.
That's right. Nope. That's true.
Well, anyway, Cybertruck owner posted follow-up photos after washing their vehicle down with soap, and they didn't inspire much confidence, showing body panels already pockmarked with small orange spots. Rust beginning on these things. I'd be so annoyed if I bought one. That would annoy the hell out of me.
I would too. I guess, and Marty D explains, stainless steel will rust. It just oxidizes.
Right. But that should mean you can get it off or no? Because I think call me wrong if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I think Tesla's not selling them under the pretense of, so just so you know, it doesn't really rust, but it oxidizes and it looks like shit. And you know what I mean? They're telling us that it's stainless steel. In fact, I swear I've heard them say before, you don't even hardly need to wash the thing.
Yeah.
And it's a truck. You're supposed to take it on the mud.
Right. You're exactly. Did DeLoreans have issues with rusting?
Oh, good question. Those are, because those are stainless steel,
are stainless steel. Yeah.
DeLorean rust.
Marty, taking you to the future where there's no rust.
Oh, I want to make that my pen name. My ghostwriter name is DeLorean Rust. You like that?
Ooh, I like that. DeLorean Rust.
That's not bad. Okay, I'm looking. Yes. Oh, it's funny. The very first thing that comes up when I put the DeLorean Rust is Cybertruck engineer addressing claims that Tesla's rusty thing. It looks like if you leave one of these out for too long, it will corrode. Here's a picture, Brian. I'll give it to you.
Okay. Yep. Please do. Right under our vacuum flask.
Yeah. This is, there's an example of a DeLorean that's had a little trouble.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Marty. Wow.
It's not perfect, right? Like, maybe we're, maybe my expectation for what that means is wrong.
That's really what, that's what it should have looked like in, when Marty, pulled out the DeLorean out of the cave in Back to the Future 3.
Hell yeah.
That's what it should have looked like.
Yeah, it should have. That would have been cool. Somebody made a... Somebody's saying that the DeLorean may return, the name may return as an electric vehicle.
Oh, really?
Somebody who owns the DeLorean name? Wow, I just ran into this.
Will it include cocaine in the... glove compartment?
yes,
that's all I can think of. It's like it goes DeLorean, Back to the Future, cocaine is basically where it goes.
Yeah, what was that guy's name? Something DeLorean, but what was his first name?
Richard DeLorean.
Whatever, that guy was
Bubby DeLorean.
Bubby DeLorean. That dude snorted so much cocaine in his time. I saw a documentary. The guy was a wackadoo.
John DeLorean.
That's a real hard name to remember. It's really uncommon.
Should be the easiest
name to remember. Yeah. Speaking of remembering things, we're going to remember to play a song and take a break, because when we come back, Dan, the tabletop man, will be here. So, Genie, get ready. All right. Brian, you want to explain the song you got lined up? Sounds like a good one.
I will, but man, go to DeLorean.com and look at this sexy, sexy new vehicle they've got up there.
Let's see.
Holy cow, it's nice.
They're making a new one then? This is confirmed?
Making a new one. This is confirmed. That is a new EV DeLorean right there, and it is sexy. Sexy AF.
Whatever reason, it's hanging for me. Oh, here we go. DeLorean.com. EAN, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's taking forever to load.
Or just use that link that I gave you. You can do that.
Yeah, that's the one I used. Let's see. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Are they really? Who's doing this?
DeLorean?
Yeah, but I thought it was all... I thought somebody just must own the name, because that company went bankrupt, right?
Did they? Okay, well, they apparently sold enough cocaine to reopen, to flip the closed sign back to open.
The DMC-12. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, look at it. It's got the wing doors just like you should.
Yep.
This is sexy. 300 really plus miles. Look at the range. 300 plus miles. That's all I need.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is really cheap. I'm sure it'll cost you hardly a thing.
Oh, yeah. Totally cheap. Totally affordable. Yeah.
This is a great idea from a marketing standpoint, though, to bring this back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's on my radar now. Thank you for
there
that.
There you go. All right, let's go to Barcelona. We're going to Barcelona for this one. For a band called Blowfuse. We've actually played them before on the show, but we got a brand new song from them. They've got their new album, which comes out March 1st, a little over 2 weeks away. You're gonna want to stream it when it comes out, because it's really good. So we'll just go a little more punk, a little more rock punk for you with the band Blowfuse from Barcelona. Here is the next single from their album, The Fourth Wall, I Give You My Word.
Blowfuse is my favorite Bond villain. I really liked him. Anyway, here's that song. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Tell you how to be. Got many promises to keep.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What a toy! From a hidden tank, fill overhead water tower, hook on car, throw switch, and automatically cars are wet down.
But none of us is expected to handle everything, not even a woman.
And we're back. Tell me who that was again.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to keep flipping switches until you figure out which of me is blown. It's the band Blowfuse with a brand new single, I Give You My Word, from their upcoming album, The Fourth Wall, comes out March 1st. Beer, big thanks.
Beer,
big thanks to Earshot. I combined the words big and ear. Big thanks to Earshot Media for letting me know about this.
That is awesome.
Great new track.
Love it as always.
Beer. Here's a tangent for you.
Be careful, may cause drowsiness.
Hey, I know that voice. It's Dan Dan, the tabletop man, joining us as he does once a month from his domicile full of board games down there in North Carolina. Hi, dude. How you doing? What's going on?
Greetings, programs. Hey. Yes, way too many board games. My God, I got to get rid of some of these.
Look at these. You're dropping in our thing. I can't wait to start talking about these.
Road Vendetta.
But first, Scott needs some medical advice first.
Let me ask you this. So, all right, I took ibuprofen this morning. Didn't really do anything. I got this arm thing.
Tell me what your symptoms were first before you tell me what you took.
I think I got repetitive stress arm disorder, according to my doctor. Basically, it's like carpal tunnel, but not in the hand. It's up in my shoulder.
Okay.
And if I lift it too high or do certain movements with it, it's like white hot pain. It sucks so bad. And then there are other times where if I'm in kind of a resting place, it's fine. But I have to like sleep with this arm. If it hurts at night, it wakes me up. Right now, if I lift it too high, it makes me want to die. So what
do you
sleep one
predominantly
take?
On one arm?
Huh? Say what? Yeah, it's just one arm. My other arm's fine.
I mean, do you sleep predominantly on one side?
Predominantly on the other arm, actually.
Okay.
So it's rare this other arm even gets slept on. And when it does, there is a comfortable place for it in that sleeping position where I can lay it and it's fine. But if it's off by even an inch, I'm screwed. And it will definitely wake me up. Lifting doesn't bother me. Like lifting something up doesn't bother me unless I have to pull back. Oh, like that. If I do the Y or T pose with my thumb facing behind me and try to hold that. Oh, shit. That really hurts. So this ibuprofen does jack. So what kind of hard? I need some hard drugs, but go ahead. Tell me everything.
So not like I don't want to get you into any hard drugs, but we're going to kind of take this in more of an over the counter way. So what it sounds more like, you said this is more predominantly in your shoulder. You probably haven't had any scans yet or anything.
No scans, just a preliminary doctor poke around. You know, sort of. Well, this is what we think's going on. Try this.
So it sounds more like you've either got, you know, sometimes there's like frozen shoulder or things like that, but it does sound like more osteoarthritis is going on more so than anything muscle based.
Great.
Where it's probably bone on bone. Like when you get osteoarthritis, a lot of times you have this in your knee. It's bone on bone where cartilage and such are breaking down, or even in your shoulder, you could even have like a little bit of spurs in there. And when you have bone on bone, NSAIDs or your ibuprofen or naproxen and things like that will leave. They're anti-inflammatory and pain relievers. But the thing is, when it's talking about bone-on-bone pain, there's nothing really, there's no inflammation there that's causing the pain. It's just that grinding pain. And that's why you're not going to get as much relief from things like ibuprofen. Even though that's the drug class of my choice. You know, I mean, that's what I like to prescribe to people or tell people to take when they have pain. But this pain may be a little bit more responsive to things like Tylenol, where you've got. So you may want to rotate, you know, take ibuprofen in the morning, 3 to 4 hours later, take some Tylenol or acetaminophen, and then a few hours later, go back to the ibuprofen and just rotate those throughout the day. I wouldn't really take them at the same time, but just rotate them so you can get some good coverage. And that's probably going to be your best bet without getting into like other, you know, heavier pain relievers, and then just kind of alternate hot and cold on that area. A lot of times, sometimes they'll tell you to just go heating. Heat is usually more, again, they're both kind of good for inflammation, but alternating helps to keep ahead of it, to get some of the inflammation down, and then sometimes to soften some of the areas. But again, it's going to be hard because it does sound more like bone on bone.
So for that to be confirmed, they'd have to do like, not MRIs, but like some kind of scans or something, right?
I mean, they could probably just do a simple x-ray to see if, you know, if there is any, maybe even some spurs, or if there is just how close the bone is coming to each other, you know, in that area. Because, again, you've got a lot of things going into that other area. It still very well could be, you know, either tendon-based or muscle-based, but just kind of, and you're probably, the bone could also be kind of interfering with some nerves. And when you get some of that nerve pain, it's that shooting pain.
Yeah.
I don't really want you to get into things like nerve blockers or things that are going to help, you know, like things like gabapentin, which are good for neuropathic pain. However, highly addictive and, you know, can kind of really get your head a little bit wishy-washy.
But no, I mean,
for neuropathic pain, it works very well.
Yeah.
But again, you know, that's a slippery slope.
Yeah. So my mom's got arthritis, but it's all in her knuckles. She looks like an alien. She's got these big old knobby knuckles, and she's had that since she was like in her late 20s or something. This is only my
that's
one
a little
arm.
Different too.
Yeah. It's a whole different
so
kind
that's
of
rheumatoid
arthritis. Yeah. Oh, that's rheumatoid? Is that when? So when people say rheumatoid, they're talking about hands or knuckles?
Often hands. That's pretty much where you get the rheumatoid arthritis, and that's when. And I'm sorry, I completely like talked over you. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
you.
No, you're good.
I'm just trying to give you a little bit. So with rheumatoid arthritis, it's more autoimmune, where it's your body kind of attacking itself, and that's when you get some of that growth. And they'll use things like monoclonal antibodies, some of those things you see on TV. Pretty sure like Enbrel and things like that will. Will basically help to get some of that pain and some of that inflammation down. It's fascinating the amount of things they will use for rheumatoid arthritis. When I was in pharmacy school, we invited in about, I think we had 20 or 30 people with rheumatoid arthritis, and we had different like focus groups. It was a pretty cool way to learn what patients are actually going through and how much stuff they use. They used to use like things like copper and gold and just amazing amount of crap that you're trying to keep in front of it. Methotrexate and some of these other things, hydroxychloroquine, just things to try and keep your body from attacking itself, because it basically is an autoimmune thing. And it just, the pain people feel in their hands from when it's basically like gout in your hands, if for lack of a better way. I mean, there's more to it than that, but it's basically kind of what it is, you know, as far as pain goes. People just, I mean, it just feels so bad when you see.
My mom
you
hates it.
People just go janky hands.
Yeah, my mom hates it. She's kind of all gnarled up, like claws, and she doesn't have any dexterity really anymore. But even back when she did, and it was just the pain, I remember there were days where my mom was just like, you know, in a room on her own, just staying away from everyone, almost like migraines. They were, her hands would hurt so bad. So I don't know if this is anything to do with that. Probably not. I know it's my prominent arm. It's where I mouse a lot. You know, I was playing Unreal Tournament with these guys, and it did make it worse yesterday.
But you said it's isolated to your shoulder and not kinda, your carpal, not in your hands itself or elbow or anything.
It's just below, not my wrist, but it's just below my where my tricep and bicep meet, whatever that little zone is, it's kind of in that general area. It's hard to explain. It's very non-pinpointy. Like, I can't even push and make it hurt. I have to move to make it hurt.
Is that more towards your elbow or more towards your shoulder?
More towards the shoulder more. It's on the upper arm for sure.
Okay. Yeah. If only I had pulled up the video where I could see where you're pointing right now, which I just did.
Yeah, it's just something like in here. It's like right where that little bicep, tricep, where they hang out and have their little date right there. That's where it hurts. Yeah.
You could have actually kind of strained some of those muscles, but generally you would have some relief from something like ibuprofen, but it depends on how much you've strained or if you could have actually even torn some of those muscles. Sometimes, you know, there's only so much pain relief as, you know, medicine's going to do. You're going to need to get a little bit of physical therapy, physical therapy, rest, heat, cold, and then just, and look, just some pain relievers. So it could be a process, especially, and this is probably not just, it wasn't caused by the Unreal tournament, but it probably what might have brought it to the surface. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
It was something I was festering for a while and it just came to the surface.
I definitely had issues with this arm, hand, forearm, and shoulder in the 90s when I was playing a lot of Quake and Unreal, like too much. So it was I know I was causing issues then, because even, you know, at 25, I was like, oh, my arms, I'm going to die here. And then I haven't had this pain on all that time until just recently, which makes me think it's not a coincidence that me picking up Unreal again in a pretty heavy way has some connection to this, but I could be wrong. I mean, it's all hearsay. Yeah. I have no idea.
And I don't know. So somebody kind of mentioned muscle relaxers in a chat, and I'm not sure that this is going to be a good candidate for that, because that's going to be more when your muscles are really tightening up and you get some spasms. Are you getting any sort of spasms in that area?
No, like, although I have had a thing at night once where I was asleep and I maybe had a jolt, like just the kind you get from a dream. And it was just the wrong kind of spasm, and my arm just like, it was like explode. It hurts so bad. I was just like,
sound more like a little bit of a minor tear, or maybe even some, again, some nerve involvement where it could be something is pinching on those nerves. Could be, and then depending on what the muscle's doing, if you are going to get into something like a muscle relaxer to try and see if that's going to work, I would go basically low dose, tizanidine, which is pretty minor, or like a Robaxin. I would stay away from cyclobenzaprine or Soma, which is a control. I would stay away from some of those, which are going to make you really groggy. Some of those low doses of some of those other ones that the doctor wants you to try out, I mean, that might be okay. But again, I would still work on some of the PT, heat, cold, and acetaminophen and ibuprofen. And even if you want to get away from ibuprofen, you can use something like Aleve. Take 2 Aleve with some food, and that's going to last you a good 12 hours, and then you can take the Tylenol 3 to 4 hours later, and that might actually be a good regimen to try, depending on what you've got in the house. So, you know, don't go broke trying to get over the counter stuff.
Well, here's what I'm going to say to all those listening who are like, wow, old man Johnson with your arm, tell us more about your ailments as you get older. Look, you're either going to get old like us and hurt, or you're going to die early. Which way do you want it? All right, so calm down. I'm making a straw man here. I don't know if anyone's saying this at all. I've completely made up this person that's giving me a hard time for being old. Anyway, well, Dan, thanks. Good advice.
Old, that's for sure.
Here's what then I got a piece of advice for you. I was already telling Brian about it, but there's this brand new deck builder just came out today. I don't know if it's been on your radar, but it's called, what's the name? Shit. I already forgot the name. It's like Ribo.
It's Ball
Riboflavin.
Balto. Signal.
Baltorino. Some shit.
Baltoro.
Baltoro. Right? I think.
Let me turn on my swatch.
I forgot the name.
It's first thing in my my swatch.
Shite.
Balotro. Balotro.
Balotro.
The O and the T.
So this is supposed Balotro. To be by all a review so far, both fan and websites that have covered it. PC Gamer did a thing. They're all giving it like highest praise for this sort of game. They're like, this belongs up there with Slay the Spire, with Monster Train. This is an amazing game, and it's not your typical fantasy card battler. It uses poker mechanics and an amazing art style, combined with a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. I haven't played it yet. I downloaded it sight unseen because of all this praise it's getting, but it just sounds like something you're going to love. So keep your eye on that, dude.
Oh, definitely have to check it out. I can't stop playing the last one that you recommended to me. Was that Against the Storm? My God, I can't stop playing
good.
The game.
So good.
It's not a deck builder or anything, but it's a city builder.
It's a city builder, but it does this thing where, Brian, the best parts of city builders are when, I would argue, are the early bits where you're like, sweet, I've got this building and this street and these houses and I'm set up.
Yeah.
It's not always the long con that's the fun part.
No, the maintenance and the like, oh no, now a natural disaster has wiped out, you know, all
exactly.
my fire
That's stations. Exactly right. And this game is all about that early stuff and doing it over and over, what's kind
that,
of.
What's the shit out of luck name of that again?
It's called Against the Storm. It's very good.
Against the Storm.
Yeah.
Okay. Against the quests and kind of doing things and just kind of the, when you get finished with one, whether you win or lose, like, you just want to start a whole new city over again. And it's just that kind of that, you know, it takes about an hour to play one round and then you're upgrading and unlocking new stuff. It's just
excellent.
What's that on Steam, obviously?
Steam. Yeah. And I don't know if there's console versions yet. There was talk of that, but yeah, it does. Definitely. And it does. I think it has some controller support and I forget how it works. But it's very
it's pretty
cool.
Indie developer, so I'm not sure if it's very wide yet as far as other platforms go.
Yeah, it may not be yet.
I'm typing it in here so I don't forget it. Yeah. Storm.
Against the Storm. Okay. Anyway, it's very good. It might be, is it on Mac? It might be Mac Steam. I'm not sure.
Oh.
I'm not sure about that, though. let me, before you get too excited, let me just verify here. This is available on, come on.
If I move the screen that my PC uses over to this one and just flippity floppity, the problem is that I use this for Discord also. So if I want to do Discord and play Unreal Tournament, I have to move the Discord application screen over to this computer.
Yeah, nobody wants to do that.
I mean, could do that. On. That's really easy, actually. That's really not difficult at all.
I mean, average 95% review score, it's like killing it.
That's pretty good. All right.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very good. Highly recommend it. Dan, speaking of recommended games, I see a couple of images in our Discord. Yeah. What do you got going here?
Boy, you feel like Scott games right here, both of these.
Yeah.
So a lot of people always, you know, because Scott, famously a big fan of a certain movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't say.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Love it.
Can't get enough of it.
Of course,
yes. Yeah.
So we get a lot of recommendations, you know, and we kind of talked about this game when it was first from Restoration Games. That was first. It's a remake of an older game from the 80s. And this is Thunder Road Vendetta, which was a game that's it came out last year as far as the Kickstarter came out, and it's delivered. And it's a really fun game. But now they've got a Kickstarter that should be out. I believe it's next week. I put an early page for you in the chat. This is Thunder Road Vendetta Carnival of Chaos. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because they're leaning heavily into that Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome. It's kind of like the Beyond the Thunderdome expansion is what, because we had Justin on a show, who's the head of Restoration Games. He was on a show last time.
Yeah, I like the Thunderdome. Yeah, because there really only was the one, I think. That probably works. Oh, look at these little figurines and shit in this game. The little cars.
So cool. Really?
What?
Justin, please continue.
So he was talking about how this expansion will have kind of like a circular board, and you'll be coming in from the different sides of the board, kind of like a, you know, a Thunderdome, and then you're going to be going and trying to basically attack each car and do damage to each car, but you're trying to score the most points, and once a car gets knocked out, that's kind of triggers end game. So you're kind of are also going to be kind of protecting other cars because you may want to get some more points before the end game comes. So that's kind of like the little bit. There's going to be some more things for the base game as well, with some more upgrades and some more cars and some more things like that. And you will need the base game to get into this. There's a little bit of a, let me get you a little bit of a preview here in the chat as well, because towards the end they did a review of the base game, but they've also got a couple of pictures of kind of what the what the next one's going to be. So
yeah,
it looks really good.
That's so cool.
Yeah, wow. Look at that. Ooh, look at
that. It's such a fun game to play, and it's so easy to pick up, you know, and learn the game itself and to play. But of course, you can do all sorts of things with these cars, with modding them, and people have done some amazing things with their cars as well.
Yeah, they're beautiful little figures. I mean, I say figures, little cars and a helicopter thing.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. Is this the old game from the 70s, 80s, is this the actual name of that? Was that called something else?
I'm pretty sure it was called Thunder. Maybe. I think it was called Thunder. That's why they probably made it Thunder Road Vendetta. I'd have to look at EGG and see
That's interesting. If they got the original info, because there's something about this art style that is very reminiscent of that era of games. And
are you thinking Car Wars? It's the Hobbs Dog says Car Wars, and I remember.
Well, there is Car Wars. It is Thunder Wars. I'll throw it on.
Okay.
It is Thunder Road, because I'll throw it in the chat for you. That's the original one. So what Restoration Games does, like, their whole model is basically taking these older games and reimagining them and bringing them back. That's who did Return to Dark Tower, and they've done a lot of games for that.
Oh, really? God, I loved playing. I played that in North Carolina at the meetup, and immediately said, I need to get a copy of this, and I completely, like, forgot. Well, I like, no, there's other things I need to spend my money on before I do that. But my God, I still want to get a copy of Return to Dark Tower.
It is so good. And they've got a bunch of expansions for it. And they're also the ones that did Unmatched, which is also kind of the newer version of kind of an older fighting game. I don't know if it was Pogs or something. You know, it was basically a reimagining of an older game. And the Unmatched series is just amazing as well. Key to the Kingdom they did, which was, can't remember what it was. Key to Something is what the older game was, but it's Key to the Kingdom is another very light game they put out a few years ago. So it's just, they do a really good job of bringing. Oh, and they also did Fireball Island. Do you remember Fireball Island?
Hell yeah. I remember that. And Fireball Island had, didn't that have like a mechanical aspect to
it? Spinning thing in the middle of it, right?
They had basically it would be like almost like a marble that would kind of go down the island, and it would just knock people's piece off. So the new one was called Fireball Island, The Curse of Volcar. And it's, obviously a lot more game. I'll throw the link in the chat as well. A lot more gamier kind of player, but more fun. Like, again, think of the games that came out in the 80s when we were kids. I mean, even some of the more advanced games were not really great. So they you know, the roll and move, very little decision making. They kind of bring the games, you know, it's been 30 whatever years since a lot of these games came out. So they make them more hobby gamer-like. Yeah. Clean up the rules, make them more fun to play. They do just an amazing job. But I mean, the amount of work they put into that Dark Tower game is phenomenal. I mean, like you said, Brian, you played it. It's just ridiculous how good it is.
That looks great, dude. It really is. Super, super into it. All right. Well, good. These are things to keep on my radar, especially, Vendetta? No, Carnival of Chaos. Vendetta was the first one.
It's the new one, yeah.
And that one is
Thunder Road Vendetta, Carnival of Chaos. That'll be out, I believe it's the 27th or 24th or something like that. It'll be, so it's probably early next week. A lot of times they launch on Tuesdays, so it will probably be the 27th when it comes out.
Yeah, you can bookmark it now. Just go look for Carnival of Chaos on Kickstarter, and you can bookmark it and get notified when it launches. And it looks awesome. And it's all up my alley, of course. And it fits with that cool DeLorean I put in our Discord earlier. Anyway, Dan, it's always good hanging out with you, man. You probably got other cool stuff going on your show and other things. Tell people what they can get and where.
So you can find me at Geek Jock Dan on Twitter and on the Geek All-Stars podcast. Next week, we're doing our Game of the Year. It's been kind of one of these things that I thought we were going to do it about a month ago, but we're doing it next week. We're recording our Game of the Year. We're going to talk about the top 11 games. What we do is when we have what we call the All-Stars on the show, like the different publishers or designers and such on a show, I get them to send me their top 11 for each year, and then I compile it with ours and theirs, and then we get the Geek All-Stars Game of the Year. So we do the top 11 show of that, because as they always say, everything is better when it goes to 11. So we're going to do the top 11 next week.
I've heard that before. And, I guess it's now true. It's true now that what you say. Here's the website, everybody. TheGeekAllStars.com, correct? That's where you want to go. Yep.
There you go.
Go check it out. Dan, the Tabletop Man, have a fantastic week, and may your arm never hurt like this. Bye now. All right.
Aww.
It hurts. I don't like it. Although right now, this position I'm in, perfect. No problem. Yeah. Doesn't hurt at all. But the minute I go, like if you said to me, hey, Scott, where do you keep your collection of stormtroopers? I'd have to go, oh, they're right. And if I did this, like.
Yeah, you couldn't do it. You couldn't tell. You couldn't gesture to show me where your stormtroopers are kept.
It's the whole thumb behind. What is that? That makes no sense. I'm not doing this all day.
You know, you may have to take a couple week break from Unreal Tournament. let yourself heal up.
You're not wrong.
You dropped down on the leaderboard there.
I figured out what happened too, because for so many years I stopped using mouse and keyboard and went controller on shooters. That doesn't bother me at all. And when I go back, it's just like all this flares up again.
Yeah, because there's a attention that you have to do that you don't do with a controller. You can kind of change your controller position real easily, but the keyboard has to be on the desk, has to be in the same place.
Right. And if you're playing high intensity stuff like UT99, I'm sure I'm rigid as hell while I'm doing that.
I'm sure you're all tensed up, and that's what screws it for you.
Sounds bad to say how rigid I am, doesn't it?
I'm rigid. Turgid. Yeah. Playing my games makes me turgid.
Turgid.
Turgid. Turgid's a great word.
Turgid.
Turgid.
I don't know why I feel like I've got to say that like Zapranigan, but turgid.
Turgid. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Big thanks, everybody, for watching, hanging out with us, and being here on a Tuesday. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow with a regular bunch of business and dental apocalypse tomorrow. So looking forward to that. You can find links to everything we're talking about at frogpants.com/TMS. A reminder that our tickets are up for TMS Vegas, which is at vivatmsvegas.com. You'll find a link there to the store. But however you get there and get your tickets procured. A bunch of you already made a run, which means... it's not that we're going to run out, but, you know, I wouldn't wait, is what
I'm
saying.
Don't wait too long. Yeah, we're not going to, right.
So get on there. Frogpants.com/store. It'll be the first thing that comes up. So if you are interested, grab your tickets today. Get your swag bag reserved. I got more questions yesterday saying, when are the swag only? As I can't come, but I would love a swag bag this year. That's coming. We just have to, this has to prove out so we know how many we're doing.
We have to know how many of a thing to produce
right
for the swag bag, and so that's why tickets need to go first.
It's a pain in the arse, but it's how it works. All right, that is gonna do it for us. Brian, anything else? And if not, do you have a song you'd like to play?
Well, go get your hotel room too. If you have not done so, go to Viva TMS Vegas, scroll down, go to the hotel information and reserve your room if you haven't done so already. Do it.
Use that code. Let's take advantage of it.
Because I think there might only be a month left, or maybe not even that long for that. I'll have to see what the time frame is for people to get the room. So
cool.
So get your rooms, folks.
Excellent.
All right, let's get to a request. This is going out to Amanda.
Oh, she's the one that called today. We got double Amanda today. I don't know if it's the same one.
Might be.
This one right here.
Hi, this is Amanda.
Is that her?
Didn't mention Brandon, but I'm doing their portmanteau name, Branda. Anyway, good morning, Satin and Blue. Yesterday afternoon, my boyfriend became my fiancé.
Whoa.
Typing the word fiancé is so cool and new and amazing. We can't wait to get married next year. Yes, I already have a date picked out. I'd love a cover of Taylor Swift's Invisible String. My now fiancé, still weird, haha, introduced me to the wonderfulness of TMS, and I am now a patron of TMS, Frog Pants, and Coverville. Thank you both for being you and for sharing your lives with us. Sincerely, Amanda and Brandon, parentheses, A and B.
Oh, A and B.
A and B.
That could be your own little couples podcast, A and B show.
That's right, A and B. Yeah. Congratulations, you two. That's awesome. Invisible String. This is one of the newer songs that Taylor released on her, what was it? I'm going to call it Midnights. It's before Midnights. It's the one that had the sweater thing. Everwood or something like that. Anyway,
whatever that is.
It's an album I really liked, and I'm kind of into it now. Sorry, it was so weird. Mm. This is the Moon Loungers, a very cool acoustic cover of Invisible String. They just released this a couple years ago, 2021, on a self-titled single. Here is Invisible String by the Moon Loungers.
Oh, that's fantastic. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Please be here for another TMS. We'll see you then.
Green was the color of the grass where I used to read a Centennial Park. I used to think that I would meet somebody there. Teal was the color of your shirt when you were 16 at the yogurt shop. You used to work out to make a little money. Time, curious time, give me no compasses, give me no signs. Were there clues I didn't see? And isn't it just so pretty to think all along there was some invisible string tying you to me? Ooh. was the blood of the song in the cab on your first trip to LA. You wait in my favorite spot for dinner. Paul was a waitress on a 3-year trip getting lunch down by the lakes. She said I looked like an American singer. Time, mystical time, cutting me open, healing me fine. Were there clues I didn't see? And isn't it just so pretty to think all along there was some invisible string tying you to me? Something wrapped all of my past mistakes in barbed wire. Chains around my demons, water breathe the seasons. One single thread of gold, tie me to you. The steel of my axe to grind for the girls who broke my heart. Now I send their babies presents. Gold was the color of the leaves when I showed you around Centennial Park. Hell was the journey, but it brought me heaven. Time, wondrous time, gave me the blues and the purple pink skies. And it's cool, baby, with me. And isn't it just so pretty to think all along there was some invisible string tying you to me.
Yeah, good morning, guys. This is Chuck B63 in Discord. Chuck Byers calling for TMS from. I was just listening to yesterday. You mentioned the Morse code for the Toronto Airport YYZ concerning the rush history, I guess. And you said you thought Neil. Didn't fly. Well, I don't believe he had an aversion to flying like John Madden did. And I had to do some research. I was looking it up and there's a quote that he said he didn't start riding his motorcycle until his 40s. And, the YYZ came out on Moving Pictures in 1981, which would have made him just under 30 years old. So I believe they were probably flying then. And then, of course, he discovered his motorcycle. He's written a number of books about motorcycles, his motorcycle touring, namely the one called Ghost Rider that chronicles his mourning time after losing his wife and daughter tragically in the late 90s. So, yeah, I'm probably one of the bigger Rush fans you'll ever encounter. I've seen him eight tours, nine different times. Between 1979 and 1997. So one of my favorite bands. So I had to say something about that. YYZ, amazing song. They have a live album that has a tremendous Neil drum solo within that song. Exit Stage Left is the name of the album. So recommend that. So anyway, I'm going to go back to listening to that. Your episode from yesterday, but I had to pause it and give you a call. Okay. See you guys. Bye.
Hey, this is Nick wanted to write and let you know that I actually had a dream last night that included Scott and Kim. Essentially, Scott, you and Kim had opened your house as an Airbnb, and my wife and our two young kids decided to travel to stay with you guys in Utah. Though not completely clear, I'm pretty sure when we arrived, you had only two bedrooms, and you were also watching another young baby, who I assume is your adorable granddaughter. The most realistic part of the dream was that my kids were extremely loud the entire night, and we stayed up the whole night and woke you and Kim up the whole time, as well as your granddaughter. I've only grown to believe that Kim is probably the nicest person on the face of the planet, through all the shows I've heard her on, and everything, Scott, you've said about her. She did want to kick us out in the dream, into the cold weather, in the middle of a snowstorm, I'm pretty sure. Thanks, for the great shows and, Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. Thanks so much. This is Nick from Massachusetts, the safest place to drive during the holidays. Bye.
Hello, Squirt and Blood. This is Joe and Cool from the Tadpool and all the socials. First, I want to give a quick shout out to the real Chris Brown. I met him several months ago, and he is a very nice, very cool dude. But anyway, the reason why I'm calling is a few episodes ago, you were talking about having blood drawn for blood tests. And my experience in that is when I was a young kid, long, long time ago, I used to have an issue with passing out after giving blood. And I remember back when I was about 9 or 10 years ago, I went to the lab to give blood, and way back all those years ago, you didn't do it in a separate room. The room, they had a long bench with, three tables in front of it, and they could take blood from three different people at a time, in this situation. So back when I was 9 or 10 years old, I went in and they took blood from me, and they knew I had a history of passing out, not while they were taking the blood, but after they were done, then I could get up and pass out. So they told me to sit down and wait for a while before I get up. Also back then, it was pretty common that for your labs, along with drawing blood, they would take a urine sample. So they took my blood, had me sit for a while, and then they were asking me, are you all right? And it's like, yep, I think I'm good. And they said, all right, now it's time for you to go pee in a cup. They had across on the other side of the room, they had several little bathrooms where you would go into and give your sample. And so I got up to go in the bathroom over there, and my mom asked me if I was okay and if I needed her to come with me just in case. And I said, yeah, that's fine. You can come in with me. So she went in the bathroom with me, and I remember unzipping my pants, getting ready to give the sample, and the next thing I know, I'm laying on the floor, waking up to this nurse hitting me with some smelling salts. And it was at that time, too, I realized because the bathrooms were so small, my mom had to open the door and lay me down outside where everybody else was. And when I woke up, the very first thing I realized was, yeah, my business was hanging out for all the world to see. So, yeah, there you go. There's my doodle hanging out story. Devotion for the spectacle, nonetheless. Bye.
Get more at frogpants.com.
He's been asphyxiated.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.